Welcome back, super friends, both new and old, to the Digital Soup Podcast, a hilariously geeky podcast that enjoys challenging what it means to be a geek today. Let's face it, being a geek is no longer all about rolling a 20-sided die or diving deep on the tech specs of the latest PC components. We believe that if you have a hobby you are super passionate about, that's all it takes to enjoy the world of geekhood. Now, we've got a great show today full of all sorts of information to enhance your geeky lifestyle, including Logitech buying blue microphones, the AAF begins as MoviePass ends, and we ponder who is stronger than Thor. So hit the drop because the kitchen is open for an all-new episode of the Digital Soup Podcast.
All right, welcome back to Digital Soup, everyone. The only podcast where the hosts record naked and afraid. It's the only way I like to be is afraid while I'm naked, because if you saw me, you'd be afraid too.
Oh. Well, I kind of think of it as I'm naked and they're afraid.
that's what I'm saying.
They have to see it, yeah.
Oof. I'm clothed out of decency, so.
And we're still afraid.
You guys are weirdos. This isn't right.
It's not right.
I've just got to say, quick side note to everything here today. I'm trying this new tea I got in my Keurig, and it is fantastic. Like, I haven't had a tea this good, a hot tea. It's so tasty.
Mm. What kind is it?
Yeah,
I don't remember the brand. It's an Earl Grey blend.
Tea, oh. Earl Grey, hot. Jean-Luc Picard.
Yeah, you and Patrick Stewart, Segway. Man.
Woo. Little bit of honey in there. Oh, so good.
Actually, you know what? Well, first of all, this is Adam from the Digital Soup Podcast. Yeah. Joining me in the virtual studio is, as always, Jason and usually Dave.
That's right.
So I just stole Jason's intro. I want to jump right into this real quick. Captain Jean-Luc Picard making a comeback.
And it's a brand new star. I thought when they first announced it, he was going to be coming to the Star Trek series. What is it called?
Discovery.
But no, it's a brand new series coming out. I'm excited.
That's awesome. You know what? He probably looks exactly the same because he's young. He's Patrick
no,
Stewart.
Did you not see Wolverine? He looked pretty bad in that.
Oh, they had to cake him with makeup. Between him and Keanu Reeves, it's like two men that don't age.
Exactly. And me. So,
make it so, number one.
Hey, a lot of people, you know, there's been over the years, and I think we even did it one time. Dave did it for you and me to battle it out. Who was the best captain between Kirk and Picard?
Yeah, and you picked Janeway. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I know. Well, you know, I kind of like the ladies. But you know what? So many people out of all the Star Trek universe that's out there do say that Picard is the best captain.
Yeah, he is. So,
the Next Generation was pretty awesome, and hopefully, is this going to be kind of that, you know, I don't want to say universe, because they all take place in the same universe, but it's every Star Trek's a little bit different. Is it going to be more like The Next Generation, and are we going to have, like, Borgs and Q, and, oh, man, Q, do you not love Q?
I love James Bond.
He was one of the best characters on Star Trek, I thought.
Yeah, he was good.
He's like a god character. Oh, he's Thor.
Well, yeah, so basically, maybe he'll be played by Chris Hemsworth.
Actually, he's more like Loki, because it wasn't like a god of mischief almost.
He was pretty mischievous. So, yeah. Wow, that was a very nerdy intro.
It was.
Nice. Well,
we're not nerds, though.
No. I'm not. I mean,
before we get into the rest of the show, we missed it last week, and I don't know if we had any new actual reviews this week to read.
We did get one, yes.
We did. Okay, awesome. I know we've had a few ratings, which means we've got a few people subscribing and rating still, which is fantastic. Super friends, we thank you so much for that, both new and old, as we've said before. However, we do just want to remind you that if you can do us a huge favor, we really appreciate it. It supports the show and helps keep our Digital Soup brand growing and our Digital Soup community growing. Go head over to Apple Podcasts. We make it easy. We've got a link for you right on our show, on our website, I should say, at digitalsouppodcast.com. There's a big subscribe button right up top. You can head over to Apple Podcasts, hit that subscribe, give us a rating, and if you can, give us a review, and we will be happy to read out whatever you have to say to us, as long as it's not, you know, a little rated R or anything like that. But we do really appreciate that, and we want to thank everyone who's taken the time to do that, and also encourage the rest of you who maybe haven't had a chance to click over there. We make it super easy for you, so jump over there, hit us up with an Apple Podcast review. And Jason, what did we get this time?
The review we got this past week is from user Crazy Kathy Lynn. I've just noticed that she clicked on the totally wrong podcast and rated it because her title says Great Gaming Podcast. Are we a gaming podcast? We talk about games.
Could be.
Sort of.
Maybe she had just listened to our E3 special and she thinks that's the only thing we are. But
she said it's great about games and more.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I read it before you read it.
I was like, I haven't seen this. What the heck?
Yep. So thank you, Crazy Kathy Lynn. And like Dave said, you leave us a review, we will read it on the air. Let's jump right into this first story here, gentlemen.
Let's do
Logitech.
Yeah.
Big company. Over the years, I'm sure each of us has owned at least a dozen Logitech items.
Well, real quick, look at your desk in front of you. Listeners, if you're at a computer, do it, or think about your computer at home. Jason and Adam, how many Logitech products can you point out on your desk right now?
I've got one.
Jason?
Hold on.
Oh, he's really having to count.
Nope, he must creative. On my desk is zero.
Really?
Off to the side of my desk on another shelf, I have my Logitech camera.
Uh-huh.
Over in my parts shelving, I have a bunch of Logitech mice and keyboards. Currently, I'm using CM Storm stuff, so that's what I have on my computer. But yeah, I mean, I over the years, I've had Logitech speakers, of course, mice and keyboard, which I still have. What else have I had? It's tons of Logitech stuff. But anyways,
mine's not Logitech; it's Logitech.
That's right.
Logitech.
But I
just from Target where you bought it.
Yep. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I did lie to you guys though. I do have one more Logitech item.
Yeah.
I do have my blue snowball ice.
That is not a Logitech item. That is a blue item.
It is now a Logitech item since they have purchased, and I've already put the sticker on that says Logitech. Just so
he peeled it off his keyboard, was like scratching it off with an X-Acto knife, and stuck it onto his microphone. I do have a blue snowball mic here as well.
No Logitech. All right,
Logitech blue snowball.
So this computer accessories maker said last Monday that they will acquire blue microphones for roughly, drum roll please, $117 million. In cash, not even stock options or anything like that.
Small unmarked bills.
Cash. Can I get that in nickels, please?
Well, here's the cool part. A company spokesperson confirmed to TechCrunch that the blue brand is sticking around and the company's team will be joining up with Logitech. So they're actually pulling in all the blue employees as well, plus their contractors, which is really nice for the folks at Blue because I've been through companies getting bought before and not everybody gets to stick around, unfortunately. So
very true.
And, you know, usually just during negotiations and stuff, they say that, but then give it about 6 months, you know, they'll kick out all those past employees. It'll be a hostile takeover, you know, and they'll probably just shut the whole thing down and blue microphones will no longer exist. And it's going to be Logitech Snowball Ice. You heard it here first.
I don't think so, because if you go to the Blue website right now, which is bluedesigns.com,
they
the
make
first
a lot
thing,
of studio stuff.
Yeah, a lot of studio stuff. A lot of people really love them. And I enjoyed the Snowball mic, except for the fact it was a condenser mic, which just didn't work here well. And
if you had a perfectly quiet room, if you were in a studio with suppression panels, everything, it would be perfect. But if you have kids in the house, good luck, buddy.
Right. And, you know, the first thing you see, though, when you head over to the bluedesigns.com, Blue's website, is a big banner up top that's split down the middle with Logitech and Blue showing the microphones and Logitech's cameras, mouse, headsets, you know, keyboard.
Oh, they only got one mouse?
Well, they've got, in the one picture, they've got just a pretty cool little top-down photo.
I was just being an idiot. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we're used to that. But no, the one question I had, though, is I'm wondering, you guys are killing me. Does Blue make a dynamic microphone like what we like to use here?
Isn't the Yeti, or is that...
Nope, Yetis are condenser mics also, okay. And they actually have the ability to switch between patterns where you've got just front pattern, or you can switch between multi-directional if you're, you know, set it in the middle of a table, but it picks up a lot of noise. But if they have a regular dynamic microphone...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
do
the Encore, it looks like.
Encore, okay. 100 handheld mic.
Oh, be curious nice to too. Be interested to get my hands on one. I don't need to spend the money on it, but Blue makes some pretty good stuff, and it's kind of crapped on in the podcast circles a little bit, but because it is a condenser mic and all of that, but
I'm sure their dynamic mics won't be crapped on.
Yeah, I would hope.
Some of their mics are really good in the studio. They've got kind of different voices. I had the pleasure of recording with they've got a mic there called the Blue Baby Bottle.
Oh yeah,
which is it's an XLR mic. They're about $400, but the sound was real nice on that.
See, it sounds like a lot compared to, you know, our Shure mics that we're using, which, you know, we love those. But if you look at like the Shure SM7B, which is an industry standard microphone for broadcast, when you're looking at radio stations and high end podcasts, a lot of people love it. And that mic is going to run you $350, $400 right in there. So, oh, yeah.
You want a really, really good one, you're going to be spending thousands.
Right.
Not just a thousand, thousands.
Right.
Do you think they might have any coupons I could get?
They might. Maybe there's like if you enter the right code.
Wow, these Encore.
Yeah.
Not to interrupt you, but these Encore mics really are not that expensive. They have some that go up, you know, to $199. But
they're still not bad.
Their base Encore mic is $99, same as an SM58. That's very interesting. And I think this is a good move for Logitech to buy Blue microphones, because Blue has been dipping their toes into more and more of the USB and iOS applications with their microphones, more of that consumer market, which also is tapping heavily into the gaming market. And Logitech, of course, you know, has their gaming headsets and things they've been trying to do for a long time. And so this is a way where Logitech can bring some of that really good quality audio into their gaming and streaming setup, as well as the rest of their product line. And, you know, we might see this be a, you know, 5 years down the road, a massive move for Logitech in that space.
Yeah, possibly.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it won't be, you know, next Thursday or last Thursday, where they'll reach a market value of more than $1 trillion by chance. But
well, you know, things take time.
They're like 21 freaking years.
I like apples.
Yum-nums.
That was a total helicopter baseball moment. But
so but Apple. Oh, go ahead, Jason. What are
I
you
was gonna say? I was just going to say, speaking of the story, is this not amazing? A company been near bankrupt a few times in the past. They are the first company to reach $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the article and stuff, they really started to turn around with the iPods and then the iPhone. Unfortunately, you know, Apple's bread and butter, and the reason why they were created was for PCs, you know, for, you know, the big old bulky computer you set on your desk. But they did not hit the mainstream until, you know, the iPods came out, and then the iPhones just took them out in the stratosphere.
What now?
The stratosphere.
He got all street on us. Up in the stratosphere.
Oh, see, that's even cooler than the way I said it.
That's like more it. Like...
That's almost like gospel preachery.
That sounded like stratosphere.
Oh, perfect.
Wow.
Wow.
But what's so cool, much. What's cool, I mean, this is cool, and I kind of wish that, you know, Steve Jobs would have been around to see this. This would have been a great accomplishment in his lifetime.
Who says he's not?
Well, he might be looking down on us.
Maybe this is an Elvis moment, and he's really still alive.
You think Elvis is still alive? What about Biggie and Tupac?
No, I don't.
Hmm. You don't think they're alive?
Nope, I don't, but...
what about Kathy Lee Gifford? Is she still alive?
Slightly pickled, but yes.
Slightly pickled.
Who was that she was always drinking with on that show? What was
Hoda something.
Hoda, yeah, there we go.
Hodor.
Well, we did a whole Yoda Hoda thing, remember
that? Yeah, that's right.
like 80 episodes ago.
That was a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah.
But not much more to say about this story here, except, you know, Apple, $1 trillion company, amazing.
What do they make, phones or something?
No, they make, what are those things called at the end of your shoelace?
Dongles.
They make
aglets.
Haglets. They make haglets.
No, aglets, not haglets.
No, that's what old ladies use, is haglets on their shoes.
Speaking of haglets, say hi to your mother for me, Charlie.
Much for me. I'm going to do a segue for you guys.
There we go.
You guys always do segues, so I'm going to do a new one. Ready for this?
Yep, yes. We're ready.
Tesla is blowing minds, bringing arcade classics into their vehicles. How's that? Is that a good segue?
Whoa.
That's pretty almost good? Just like the story, straight up story. Oh,
did I miss it? Did I not get the concept of a segue?
I think you got it pretty good.
I thought I nailed it. Yeah, I did. Nailed it.
All right, next story.
That's nice.
Yeah. So tell us about the story then, Dave.
Yeah, I Dave. Will. So, if you guys haven't listened to last week's episode, which
like
was
Adam,
yeah, yeah, we found out that Adam had not listened to it, but no, last week's episode, episode 85, there was a section that Adam darn near killed me with his George W. Bush little snicker and laugh there. And every time he does it, I keep losing it because it just cracks me up so bad. So, in case you're wondering why I'm laughing so hard, it's just thinking of that conversation from last week. And
we know Adam's Halloween costume this year, don't we?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
He looks just like him.
Yep. Yeah,
same body structure.
Spitting image. Yeah, he gained 125 pounds and looks darker. I don't know.
Well, he is, you know, retired president, so he spends a lot of time out on the beach and golfing, you know, stuff like that. So he's going to get a tan.
Jeez. Sweet. Well, basically,
tell me about Tesla, though.
Yeah, what's going on is I think it was last week sometime. Elon Musk from Tesla had announced that some classic Atari games would be coming as Easter eggs in the Tesla software, which is their dashboard. You know, in my mind, I picture it as a super advanced version of the Ford Sync system or something. And this is really kind of absurd, really kind of cool and crazy, especially when one of the games are pole position.
Exactly. And tell them why it's so cool, Dave.
Excuse me. Why pole position is so cool?
That's specifically that game, because that's the big one that has an awesome feature.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to actually be linked somehow, they're saying, possibly to the electric car's steering wheel for maximum
exactly.
fun factor.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah,
and this is from an article over on the Teslarati.com. And so
it does say, to be on the safe side, the pole position Easter egg would only be accessible while the vehicle is stationary.
But what?
I guarantee clearly. Someone's going to hack this. Yeah, and then you'll have real pole position.
Yeah, and it'll be like what is it? AR? Is that what they call it? Augmented reality? Yeah,
like reality.
Pokemon Go, but with pole position, and you're seeing the cars in front of you just zipping down a freeway somewhere.
Well, they call it pole position because you'll actually bury your car into a pole.
Mm-hmm. That's the position I found myself in most often when I used to play pole position back in the day.
I thought that was, remember back in college, to help pay for college, you had that part-time job at that one joint where you were positioned on a pole?
Oh, that was you, don't you remember?
While a song was playing in the background?
Oh, back when you worked for SurveyMonkey?
SurveyMonkey?
Yeah, that's the polling.
Yeah, polling.
I was trying to say Dave was a stripper. Come on.
I know. I was trying to get away from that because it's a family show.
Yeah, I used to help with the elections and ballots. I mean, here's your poll position. Please step right over. Yes.
Now, we all know the greatest Atari game that needs to be on the Tesla.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Exactly. So we could just start beating on the screen and the console and the dash and everything out of frustration because we can't win the damn thing. Because
the game doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Well, I don't know about you, but
I just keep falling in the pit.
I don't know about you, but I won't be beating on the dashboard of my Tesla. Either one of them. No.
Why not? Because they're nice?
They're so...
Oh, I thought you were setting up a joke there, Dave. I
knew where he was going. It's a super expensive car.
Yeah, joke was that I'm broke and could never in a million years afford a Tesla. Oh, man, not only can he not tell our voices apart, he apparently has no idea who we actually are.
Man.
He must think that I'm just some kind of millionaire rolling.
This guy sucks.
This guy's crazy.
Wait,
I can't believe it.
I thought it was on the Sid and Mac show. This is weird.
What?
Shutter Time.
Oh. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to throw this out there. For Halloween, they should rename their podcast to be spelled S-H-U-D-D-E-R Time.
Shutter Time.
Shutter. Yes. Instead of Shutter.
Yeah, why don't you guys have just for a the Halloween special. Yes. Shutter Time. Special Shutter Time edition for Halloween. Yep.
Featuring Captain Poland.
Yeah, Captain Poland talking all about how to photograph ghosts and other spectral.
Oh, that would be an awesome episode. That
actually would be kind of awesome.
I'm telling you, I'm an idea guy. I don't know anything about it, but I'm telling you. Sid, Mac, Captain Poland, you guys make this happen. Just make sure that you give full credit to that idea to your good pals here over at Digital Soup because, you know, we gave you that million-dollar idea right there.
Yep, exactly.
That one's a freebie.
Not a trillion, but a million.
Not even a quarter of a million, which is roughly $250,000.
But we could form an alliance, though, with Shutter Time on this promotion.
Hmm. We could.
We could have a nuffle out clause.
Well, that's kind of what Instagram has, right? No nipples?
No.
He said nipple.
I know what he said. I thought he was being family friendly and just didn't want to add. He mumbled nipple out clause. Free the nipple.
don't say that ever again.
It's what the Instagram movement. It's a legit thing. I'm not making it up.
I'm not part of that one.
It's okay. Before you get into this story, which is a very cool one,
Dave got to unbury himself.
I do because this is a real thing. A little while back, Instagram's got some very strict policies when it comes to women being able to be nude in their app. You know, if you're sharing a photo on Instagram, a lot of people will call the nudity fine art, and sometimes it is, sometimes it's borderline porn, and I'm all for this. Oh, keep it clean.
What part are you all for?
Keeping everything clean, because kids, anyone else can see porn. This. Yeah, no, anyone can see this. There's young people on there that don't need to be seeing that. So what a lot of people did, there was a whole bunch of pretty famous actresses and Instagram celebrities in quotes that went out on these campaigns and they did a lot of topless shoots, and you have to, it's fine as long as you'd like draw a line in Photoshop over where the nipples would be. And so you see these kinds
Kathy
of things
Bates,
out there
hopefully?
All the time. And there was there was a whole bunch of people that had this big movement going, the Free the Nipple movement. And so it is a real thing if you look it up. But I thought of that when Adam said that. I just thought it was a funny joke. But I figured I better clear it up because this happened to me last weekend. I was,
you had let to put your a nipple line over fly? Yours?
No. Well, my breasts are pretty big. No, I'm kidding. No, I opened my phone and opened up Instagram, and we were with a bunch of family. Uh-oh. And I was looking for a photo of something I'd seen just
Mom,
a little.
Mom, look at this.
Yeah, like 10 minutes before, and I was going to show whoever I was with. And I opened it up, and my wife, Omega, is sitting right next to me. And the first image that loads is from someone, like a sponsored post or whatever it is you see on there. And they're a fine art nude photographer, apparently. And it was a naked woman with two little X's over her nipples. And I was like, holy cow, and I scrolled through that, and then, you know, my reaction was just get it off the screen as fast as I could.
I better look at the rest of these quick.
Yeah, well, no, my reaction was, holy cow, flip past that as fast as I can. I don't know if there's kids around or what. And then, of course, that made me look even guiltier, and, you know, my wife, Omega's like, well, who are you following there? And I'm like, nobody, I don't know who this is. It's a sponsor post. I don't know. It was just there. And then I went to show the people I was with, because then we started laughing about it, and there's no kids around. And then I couldn't find it again because, you know, Instagram algorithm. So anyways, that's the whole Instagram story. I didn't mean to derail us there. But Jason, it is training camp season. And I know we're not a sports show, but the NFL is reporting to camp. We had the very first preseason game out in your neck of the woods just last week.
Yeah, I can't remember who won that one.
Baltimore did, I think, by Baltimore, one point.
Yeah. Now, was it last year the Vikings were at the Hall of Fame game?
No, it's been a couple of years.
Couple of years now?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, somebody needs to read the headline so that my joke made sense. Come on now.
We're just skipping it and make Adam sound silly.
So our next story is the Alliance of American Football Contracts will have an NFL out clause.
Which is also known as what, Adam?
Niffle.
Out.
Niffle out.
Which is what got us on the whole Instagram thing to start with. So now you have it, guys. So, you know, we're not a sportscast. We talk about that. Yeah. Was that a sound drop or was that real?
That was me.
That was okay. I couldn't tell.
It's probably the second time I've said that on the show, at least.
Yeah. I didn't know, but this is very cool because we've got this, the second competing football league to the NFL. I mean, we obviously talked about the XFL coming, and now this Alliance of American Football trying to make a go of it. And Jason, you found that they've got some verbiage listed that was pretty interesting.
Yep. All the players who do join the Alliance of American Football, we're just going to call it the AAF, you know, so it's easy. Yeah. AF.
Black.
We'll sign standard three-year, $250,000 deals. That's not a whole lot of money if you're going to, you know, compare that to NFL contracts.
Right.
But what's cool is that when they do sign up, their contract will release them if the NFL comes a-calling.
Yep.
That is amazing because think of the amount of players that maybe they did not get picked this year, and they're hoping next year, you know, they'll get drafted in the NFL. Well, they're going to pass on the XFL or the AAF, you know, in hopes of getting that NFL contract. Well, now, hey, you're passed by the NFL this year, but the AAF wants to sign you up. Go ahead, sign up with them because they'll release you if the NFL does want to sign you in a future year here. So that's awesome that they're doing that. Yeah. And that's going to help them because, you know, like I said, there's going to be a lot of holdouts for the NFL. But, you know, hey, I might as well make $250,000 and play instead of just sit it out for a year.
And that's a lot of money. I mean, that's way more than I make in a year to play, you know, to play football. And I work, you know, making my day job.
That's more than I make to play football.
No, you know, my day job, that $250,000 a year is way more than I make.
I'm not a player. I just drink Crush a lot.
Right. Well, the thing is, like you said, this out clause, I mean, the CFL has been notorious, Canadian Football League, for insisting on a firm two-year deal. You know, they can't exit their contracts. They have changed some things. Right. they have changed some things so that in their final year they can work out for NFL teams, things like that. But you look at, I think I made the joke sometime when we were talking about football fairly recently somewhere about, oh, maybe it wasn't even on the show now that I think of it, but, you know, these players in the preseason games that are happening right now, a lot of the guys you're seeing playing, especially in the second half of these games, will be working at Foot Locker in another month. Because once they're cut from those teams, they don't have another place to go. And I think between the XFL, if the XFL was smart, they'd adopt a similar process. Because it's
and
a great way.
They probably will. I bet you Vince McMahon will do that. Because right. he is trying to mimic the NFL in a lot of regards. And he'll take a look at the AAF, which is going to beat them to market by about a year.
Yeah.
So if it's working out with them and the players will be joining the AAF easily because of that clause, I could see them doing it too.
Yep. And it'd be awesome because you look at baseball, professional baseball, the MLB, there's minor league teams all over minor league teams all over the place, which add just more opportunities for fans to see quality baseball, you know, and for teams to develop talent, all of that. Hockey has minor leagues. Basketball has their world leagues and different things they do. And it would be fantastic to see something other than college football as a essentially a minor league where you could have teams spread out all over the place and get to see some pretty good quality football still. Maybe not quite NFL talent, but some of those players will be there. And those players have the ability to be plucked out anytime as needed, which is pretty exciting. Speaking of which, Jason, not to get too geeky on the football here, but like we said, it's anything we're passionate about. That means it's something that you're geeking out about. And Adam, I won't bore you for long, but
well, I will because I have something else to say. But go ahead, Dave.
Former Cleveland Browns first round pick Johnny Manziel gets booted out of the NFL for so many personal issues, you know, drinking, partying, everything else.
Finally, he gets show up for practice.
Right.
Anything.
Yep. I mean, he gets his chance now. He's up in the CFL. Got traded from a team that was in first place, I believe, to a team that was in last place, gets the start with the last place team, and in his debut, his beginning of his big comeback, working his long road back to the NFL, proceeds to throw something like 7 interceptions in that game. So,
it was
pretty nuts. So you had one more thing on this before we jump off.
Well, a couple more things here because as you've stated many times now, we are not a sports show, but we love football. We love a lot of sports, but we
sure
very passionate about football.
Well, except Adam. And,
well, he watches the Vikings.
Yeah, I watch the Vikes.
He's a Vikings guy. So
and I Google how to play football while I watch, so I know.
Well, that's why I was getting those texts last year.
What does it mean when they go into the other zone thing.
The other web zone.
I think you know a little bit more than that. But I just wanted to point out some things here because we have the AAF starting in February of 2019. So we are like 6 months away from a brand new football league. And I wanted to just point out a couple of the differences from the NFL real fast.
Gotcha.
Now, they are fairly, you know, most of the rules are going to be right up there the same as the NFL. But there is some differences here. One of them I want to point out here is there are no extra points. Field goals, I should say. No field goals. It's always a two-point conversion. So, the ball is placed on the two-yard line after every touchdown, and you attempt a two-point conversion.
That's smart.
Yeah, it's cool, yeah. And the NFL, you see more and more two-point conversions. And weren't they even talking about at one point to get rid of field goals, but they didn't?
Yeah, and they won't. They moved them back. And
yeah, it made them a little bit harder, so they weren't as, they were just, it was like in a Madden NFL. You just get that a little bit in the middle, you make every field goal.
Right.
It was that easy.
Yep.
Another cool aspect to this, there is no kickoffs. Now, it's not going to be crazy like what the XFL did in their debut back, a dozen years ago. Mm-hmm. They're not running for the ball, a scramble for the ball, anything. They're getting rid of kickoffs because they want to help protect the players. Mm-hmm. And kickoffs are one of the most dangerous times for the players. What they're going to do is on every new possession, they just place the ball at the 25. You just start at the 25. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I guess this article that I'm getting all this information out is the NFL is actually considering looking at getting rid of the kickoffs down the road too.
Well, yeah, and we'll see. They did change up a bunch of rules this year regarding the kickoff and the wedge and stuff. Okay. So yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, interesting thing here, AAF?
Alliance of American Football.
I looked up their teams. They've got in Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, Phoenix, Salt Lake, San Antonio, and San Diego. First team up, Atlanta, being coached by none other than former Vikings coach Brad Childress with offensive coordinator Michael Vick. they're bringing in some NFL talent, albeit.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe, Tim Lewis is for the Birmingham head coach. I think Memphis was like Mike Singletary. So I'm seeing some fairly big names.
Jared Allen.
Oh, really? Where's he at?
It just says they're going to be taking a role with the league as advisors.
Steve Spurrier for Orlando. He was excellent in college football.
Palomalo.
Rick Neuheisel.
Let me know when you guys start talking about something else.
Troy Palomalo. Okay. But yeah, anyways, some big names in here.
Let me just hit a couple more points and then we can go right on because I just wanted to name some of these really cool things. The play clock's going to be shorter. It's going to go from 40 seconds to 30 seconds. Doesn't seem like it's going to be that big a deal, but it is. It is going to make a difference in the movement of the game. Plus, they are completely eliminating TV timeouts. The only time the game will stop when it naturally stops. No more, all right, here's our sponsor.
Right.
So the games are going to be much faster. Like we covered, there's going to be a lot of former NFL players that are involved in all different aspects of this, between coaching and people in the main offices and stuff. There's so many other things here that are awesome. Now they're going to make fan engagement a major priority. And to that end, they've invested a lot financially. Players will get extra performance bonuses for strong play on the field, in addition to bonuses handed out for fan engagement. It's not known at this time what exactly that entails.
Hey, I want to see the players get power-ups, like strap some fireworks to your wrist so when you throw the ball, it's like...
You blow your hand off?
That'd be awesome. No, don't clench them in your fist.
Oh, you said strap them to your wrist, and I was like, how would they leave your wrist?
Oh, they're, I don't know.
Put them on the ball.
I like snakes and sparklers.
All right. Well, for Adam here, we're going to end this here, but Sorry, everyone else. No problem.
I think the end is nigh.
Yes. The AAF will be coming out in February of 2019, so let's look forward to it. And the end is nigh for AAF or something else, Dave?
No, I would pass on that. I think we're talking movies.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Movie pass, guys.
This is bad, man.
They ran out of money.
It is.
Now they're going to try to raise prices and limit the viewing availability of blockbuster releases. So.
Well, in the latest update I saw today, if you haven't already unsubscribed to MoviePass, if you were a subscriber there, they are limiting it now so users can only see 3 movies a month. Plus, you still have all this goofy surge pricing and increased pricing. And it got to the point where you know, people were going to a matinee show, which was costing maybe $8, $6, depending on your theater. And they'd go see a movie. They're paying $10 a month or whatever it is. And then they'd tack on up to $6 for this, you know, surcharge or surge pricing, whatever they're calling it. So you're now paying more than you would have, but instead of just paying your regular cash for it. So, yep, it doesn't look pretty. I think most people who are using MoviePass have probably jumped ship unless they locked in for that annual contract, which would really suck.
Yeah. But but they probably locked in back when it was a movie a day.
Well, yeah.
You could actually watch a movie a day on this service, and now because that was the stupidest plan, you know, anybody had ever had for some type of, you know, subscription service here, now it's down to three.
And a month,
three a month. And like Adam pointed out here, and we don't want to gloss over this here, MoviePass went down twice. It went down twice because they ran out of money. So you are with a group of your friends. You're going to see, what's a new movie that's out right now? Ant-Man and the Wasp. Well, so you and five of your friends.
Maybe that's new to you. It's been out since, you know.
Whatever. Let's just go with it. So you're going to see Ant-Man and the Wasp. And your four friends in front of you, you know, they all pay their cash and they pay. You, hey, I don't need no cash. I got my movie pass. Beep. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not working. Beep. Sorry, it's saying decline. Beep. All these people were not allowed to go see a movie with their movie pass because they ran out of money.
I don't know. One of two things is going to happen with movie pass. They are going to completely fold and buckle under this pressure because they have been hemorrhaging money. And, you know, like you said, the service is going down. Everything's happening. I'm sure people, especially the ones that were going month to month, most of them had to have canceled by now, unless it's just people who subscribed and then forgot about it. But I would assume most of those people have canceled. I'd assume most of the ones that are left are the ones that had locked in, like you say, back in the better conditions, you know, when it was one a day or whatnot, and locked in for a year. So those people are kind of stuck. The one possible outcome I kind of wonder if we'll see happen is that things get so bad for MoviePass, they kind of fly under the radar, they lose most of their subscribers, but they kind of just hover there in the background. And hopefully, if they want to stay around, that the one thing good that they did do is they did spur similar models to what they were doing in a lot of different areas where there's certain theater chains like AMC Theaters, I believe, has their own subscription thing.
Their own, yes.
There's a couple others I can't think of the name of, something like Cinema something. I forget what it is, but
I'm not sure either.
A few other services that have sprung up because of this that thought they could do it better. And it might be possible if MoviePass can ride out the well-deserved bad lumps they're taking right now. If they can get through that dark spot and completely retool everything and relaunch as essentially a new service, you know, where they figure out their pricing model, where it becomes sustainable and it becomes doable for people and there's enough benefit to it, maybe they can come out of the other side of this with a moderate business. I don't think they'll ever be huge. I
mean, they're going to have to increase their prices if they want to stay afloat, right? I mean, $9.95, you're not too far off from an extra value meal these days with that price. Right?
Right.
Exactly.
So, you know, even if they doubled it, you could, if you, you know, saw one or two movies a month on average, even if they doubled the price, you're still probably saving.
Yeah, because $20 a month, average movie, let's just say you're paying...
Matinee is like $7.
Yeah, I mean, every group theater is different, of course, but let's just say average price on a non-matinee film is $10. Would that be fair? I mean, you're going to be calling it even, and the only difference is you don't have to worry about, you know, it's like if you saw that many movies a month, and or maybe you see three movies a month, but... You know, you pay for two and get one free. That might be enough to entice people, but.
Or they make a family plan for those of us that have kids and stuff. You know what I mean?
Just something along those lines.
Mix it up, MoviePass.
Yep. Either that or they'll just disappear into the ether and be forgotten.
And that's what I think is going to happen because the MoviePass has left a bad taste in people's mouth.
Right.
How are you going to support a company that when you go to use their service, you're denied it?
Yep.
And possibly twice if you had gone on both of the nights that there was outages.
I will tell you how. What they need to do right now is they need to start looking at companies like Kia They need to start looking at companies like Hyundai and look at the fact that for how many years was Kia thought of as this little cheap throwaway junker car, because they were. And Kia now, you know, when you talk about cars, when you look at their SUVs and stuff like that, they're not much cheaper anymore than what you find buying Ford, Chevy, GM, whatever. They've really turned it around, and they found a way to completely rebrand themselves and bring themselves into this new market. And I think there's a lot of examples of companies out there that have had a very bad reputation that with a lot of very detailed strategy and care, as well as, you know, first and foremost, changing things around to finally put out a good product, that have been able to shake that bad taste from years ago in large part, but it takes a lot of time and effort. And in the meantime, MoviePass has 10 different other services that are popping up now all over that are going to see what they did wrong and learn from their mistakes, hopefully, and probably going to do much better with it, because MoviePass went out and did the hard work of failing.
They failed so we could succeed.
Well, and it happens all the time.
So that we could win.
Yeah, MoviePass, it is what it is. I didn't subscribe to it. I never used it, but it's been kind of an interesting subplot here on Digital Soup for quite a while. So
true. Well, true. I'm gonna pass on MoviePass
until they get it all sorted out.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's time for a kickoff.
Oh man, I was sure you were gonna go do your laugh.
Oh man,
not that laugh. That one sucks. My actual laugh. Sucks.
Oh boy,
it does.
Brutal. Well, you know, we've been having a lot of fun with these. What were we calling them? Super debates? No, what were they?
Super fights.
And they are a lot of fun. We don't want to get stale with the audience, though. And quite frankly, Jason's just tired of losing. So he asked that we...
Well, yeah, it's because you two are ganging up on me, no matter what I say.
Nah, not true.
Which bear is best?
I don't know, free beer? But anyways, I thought, you know what, let's take a little break, because we've done the Would You Rather games, we've done the super fights, and we will be doing more of those, listeners. So if you enjoy those, keep listening, because we've got much more to come. I'm actually thinking about picking it up so I can pit Adam and Jason against each other for a little bit too. So anyways, though, we all finally, Avengers Infinity War came out with their digital release finally. And the two of you have finally, I said finally a lot there,
yep,
but you've actually gotten around to seeing the Avengers Infinity War movie.
I can't see it in the theaters. I got kids.
Well, I do too, but I saw it in theaters. I figured it out. But, you know, and we do kind of plan, I think the tentative plan, we weren't going to do it initially, but I think we are going to have a conversation. So we may, listeners, no promises, but we may have a special edition super reviews for Avengers Infinity War coming, if we can carve out some time. But with the fact that every one of us has now seen Infinity War, I want to pose this question to you. I want to know who in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is as strong or stronger than Thor. Give me your arguments and who you think should be on that list.
Well, the Hulk, for one.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he really?
And here's, okay, I know this is a discussion of just this, but I'm still trying to figure out, why could the Hulk not pick up Thor's hammer, but a Captain America could move it a little teeny bit?
Well, the theory on that is that Captain America realized he could and then, but didn't on purpose.
Yep, because Captain America's hammer
is worthy.
The worthy. Thor's hammer was, those that were deemed worthy are the only ones that can wield the hammer with pure intent. And okay, Captain America is so pure, and that is a very popular theory, that Cap actually, he was able to move it, and that he probably could have picked it right up, but he had that, you know, 1950s charm and didn't want to, you know, hurt Thor's feelings and put it.
Know that the new battle axe,
yep,
can be picked up by anybody?
Well,
there's no worthiness to it.
It's just super powerful, which is an interesting part of this, because, and we'll get to that. But who else do we think? So you're saying Hulk is at least as strong.
I figure Hulk has to be because Thor did not punch a spaceship and make it blow up, but Hulk did.
Well, Thor has, but remember in Thor Ragnarok...
He did not punch a spaceship.
No, but remember in Ragnarok, Thor and Hulk go toe-to-toe in a pretty epic battle, and it comes out a draw, as far as we know. So, Adam, who do you think?
Well, I've got two, actually.
Go for it. Hit us.
One is his dad, Odin.
Yeah.
You know, well, he gave him these powers.
True.
Right?
Fair enough, yeah.
His sister, Hela, though, was... he hit her with the mother of all lightning bolts, and she was still coming at them, so...
Yep.
Thor basically had to bail because she was super powerful.
All that could save her was... what the heck was that
Ragnarok's
name? No, it wasn't. Ragnarok is the event that happened, but... what was that big creature's name? Started with an S, I think. I can't remember, but...
Sam...
Yeah, Sam. He got his helmet, and he destroyed destroyed.
Man, I'm trying to. I saw the movie, but I can't remember.
At the very end, he traps her there with that big being as they all escape into space. So we know, obviously, Thanos.
Yep.
When we think about it, what do you guys think about Cap?
As far as being able to take Thor.
Thor, yeah, just against Thor. Yep, strong or stronger than Thor, equal to or greater.
Less than.
Think so.
Yep.
Jason?
I think he's less than just because, I mean, it's the whole thing with like the Hulk too. It's like in certain iterations of this character, he's not as powerful as he is in other iterations. And it's confusing, even in the same universe. You know, like in the first Captain America, he's definitely not as powerful as Thor. But later on, he seems like he could possibly be. Same with Hulk.
Well, Hulk. Let me say this about Cap. He did go toe-to-toe with Thanos and survived, which
And can we please call him Captain America? You are not buddies with this guy.
Oh, me and Cap?
You are not allowed to call him Cap.
Me and Cap are tight.
Captain America. He's Mr. America to you, buddy?
I don't think Thanos was really super trying very hard.
Well, he did just use his other hand and beat him, but he lived. When you think about the other people that faced Thanos, Hulk barely survived. He was beaten to a pulp until Heimdall shot him out of there.
Well, my thought was Hulk got knocked out, basically, which took quite a lot of force, and then he kind of chickened out for the rest of it.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then when Thanos clobbers Captain America, he goes down in a heap, but he's up pretty quick.
I'd say Superman.
Superman is not in the MCU.
That's DC, dude.
So anyone
else? Crossover episode.
I know the big argument I've seen out there a lot is that Groot may actually be as strong or stronger than Thor.
Oh, what kind of strength are we talking?
Burn him Physical down. Strength? Burn him down.
Just, yeah, the Smell. Character strength. Well, and the reason being is that Groot was able to wield the axe, but like Jason said, there doesn't appear to be any...
Well, it's not that it just doesn't. Oh. The Russo brothers actually released a tweet stating that there is no worthiness to the new axe.
Mm. Yep.
So that is the reason why anybody can pick it up.
But looking at what Groot has done, especially a fully, the first iteration, the fully grown Groot before he got killed and brought back and killed and brought back, he was able to absorb some pretty massive punishment as well as inflict a lot of damage in a lot of big ways. So
he's actually pretty stupid too. He can't even sneak into the room and grab a little medallion. He grabs like everything else.
Yeah. Anyone else you can think of? I mean, there's a number of villains I'm sure that could be on that list too. But
is it crazy to say the Wonder Twins?
Yes, because they are also DC, not MCU. So we're basically thinking Hulk, maybe Captain America, probably not. We're thinking Hela.
Wait a second.
And Odin was the other one.
Now that the universes are colliding, Quicksilver.
As strong as Thor?
Maybe.
It doesn't have to be as strong because he can outmaneuver him. Mm. He could probably take his glove off before he even knows he's there.
Then Thor's glove? What are you talking about? You're talking about Thanos.
I thought we were talking about Thanos again. I'm sorry.
No, we're talking about Thor.
Scarlet Witch was way more powerful than I thought she was from other shows.
Yeah, she's very powerful.
God, she was powerful in this one.
And she lost her Russian accent. Completely.
Right?
It's like they forgot to tell her to do it.
Yeah, that's all right.
And you know who else was powerful in this? And I really enjoyed it. And Dave, you need to watch his solo movie. Doctor Strange, I'm wondering, remember how he closed a portal on somebody's hand?
Yeah.
Yep.
Why could he not do that for Thanos? You think about that. Why didn't he not close a portal on Thanos's arm? And there they go. There goes the Infinity Gauntlet.
I'll tell you why when we record our Super Reviews episode.
Oh, thanks.
Because that is a discussion for another time. But basically, we're coming up with a couple villains in Thor's dad and possibly Hulk. Hulk being about equal to, if not a little stronger, and then Thor's dad and a
his what sister. About Lone Star? I don't know why.
Who's he?
Lone Star from Spaceballs.
Right. Yes.
Well, you are all over the place.
Star-Lord.
Yeah.
Star-Lord's dad.
Ego?
No, Star-Lord's dad.
Ego? Yeah, maybe. But
when the planet was still living.
Maybe, but I think unless he was on that planet, he didn't have full access to his powers. He went around everywhere else and spread his literal bioseed.
Dark helmet. Or was it dark helmet? Yeah, dark helmet.
I don't know. I thought that was a fun conversation because I will say Cap is Captain America is probably...
Don't say Cap.
Yeah. Don't want to get scolded.
You don't
again.
Know him.
I will say I think Captain America is probably equal, at least equal to Thor. He can't fly, but he's got a lot of power, and he's fast as well, and he's very good at fight styles.
Here's my, and I'm going to argue with you a little bit on that one.
Yes.
Because in this movie,
yep.
Infinity War, Thor has to hold open this gate for the dying neutron star.
Well, yeah, there is
kickstart
that.
kickstart the forge. So he takes his full on brunt, which would have fried Captain America to a crisp.
Do we chalk that up to the fact that Captain America has been he's a human that's been altered with a super soldier serum, and Thor is literally a god that's 1,500 years old?
That's probably.
Yeah.
He looks pretty good for 1,500.
I don't know if it's much a strength thing.
The only thing
that
protected Thor was his Asgard. Sorry. Terrible joke.
No, I don't know. I mean, when you look at just strength, I don't know. Yeah, taking the brunt of the star, I don't know if that's as much strength or as it is just, you know, them being a god. So anyway, listeners, super friends, if you think there's someone else that we're missing that is as strong or stronger than Thor, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Keep that debate going. And probably in the next couple of weeks, we'll go back to doing some more of our fun games and shenanigans for the Geek Off.
Sounds good.
Unless you guys or I have a very interesting topic we'll throw in. So that was the Geek Off.
That was the Geek Off.
Anyone else dancing in their seat thinking of that music?
You need an outro for the Geek Off, Adam.
Oh, I'll come up with something.
All right. Well,
definitely will.
It'll probably be something like this. And that was Dave's stupid idea of the week.
Welcome to Dave's stupid idea of the week.
Here he goes again.
Or it'll be just like, oh, thankfully that's done.
That'd be a great bumper. I'd have fun with that bumper. So I got to ask all you NES Classic Edition owners out there.
Yes, all of us.
What is the one thing that you find very disappointing about the system?
That they put Pac-Man on instead of Tetris.
No, actually, I would rather have Pac-Man. But that is not what I am saying here. What it has is it has really short cords, as Dave can tell you here, because he's the only one that actually owns it out of the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they do make some extenders, so you can, you know, extend it a few more feet out. But as Dave has noticed, you know, in a normal living room setting, even those extensions are not going to get it from your console,
mm-hmm.
which is usually set in your entertainment center, all the way to the couch, chair, etc. You're going to be sitting your butt on that floor like a 8-year-old watching TV.
Right.
And none of us want to do that at our age.
No. Well, there is a reason, though. And if you read the article I put up on our site about the NES Classic and my thoughts on it, I do believe the reason the cords, I think they could have made them a little longer, but the main reason that they have that cord so short is because there is no way from the controller to get back to the home screen. So if you're playing a game and you want to get back to the main screen and maybe play something else or whatever it is, you have to hit the reset button on the system itself.
Oh, you can't just hit select and start and go back to the menu?
Nope, I haven't found any way to jump back. Maybe I'm missing something. I've tried all kinds of combinations.
Wait a second, I have a RetroPie.
Yeah,
that's
but
right.
you have to physically hit the reset button on the console, and I think that's why they kept it short, because
wow, that's weird.
You do get the longer cables with the HDMI and USB cables for your hookups, so you can pull that console closer to you and get a little further away. And for me, like down in my office,
are you
here,
sure you're correct? Because that seems like a,
I have not,
a major.
I may be wrong, but I have not found a button combination yet that will bring me back to that main screen.
Did you read your manual?
Yep, I did. And I didn't see it in there either. But like for me and my setup here in my office, it works just fine because I've got it hooked to my television, which isn't, you know, it's 6 feet away. But I've got a big workstation bench there where I've got, you know, room. And so I just pulled the console close to the edge of that. It works just fine. And where I'm sitting in my chair in here, the cord reaches just fine to where I'm at. So I don't have a problem with the cord length, but that is one of the biggest gripes about this. But you've got a solution on here.
Okay, well, just quickly, I just Googled this here. Now, this only works on the Super NES Classic. If you hold down left, right, start, and select, it does go back. It does reset it.
Okay.
I'd have to look to see again for the NES one. But yes, what we're talking about here is a company called 8-Bit Do, like 8-Bit, like an 8-Bit console, and then Do, assuming the play on Nintendo.
Yep.
They have a 2.4 gigahertz wireless gamepad made specifically for the NES Classic Edition. Mm-hmm. Now, it does come with a wireless dongle that you plug into the front of it, and it gives you your actual, you know, replica NES controller wireless. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love this company, by the way, because I actually purchased the SF30 Pro gaming pad for my RetroPie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a replica of the Japanese Super Nintendo controller with the, you know, the colored buttons.
Sure.
And it has two analog sticks and four shoulder buttons. So this company makes some great products, and now they're going to save Dave. Well, he's still going to have to get his, you know, butt up off that couch to reset it. But now he can actually sit back in a comfy couch and play, as long as he wants to play that one game.
What if you had a really long stick and you could hit the button from not without moving?
Well, you could do that.
Or you have some children, right, Dave?
Yep.
The voice-activated remote control system. I mean, that's an old joke in the photography world. I remember famous photographer Joe McNally and David Hobby, when they talk about their light stands, you know, when you've got your lights, you know, that are lighting your scene or your model, yep, or your whatever, they always refer to them as their VALs, voice-activated lighting. Because what it was they had assistants over there standing at the light stand that they'd tell, hey, lift that light up a little bit, increase the power a little bit, drop that down, bring it over here, whatever. It's a voice-activated lighting. So you could do that, just force your kids to be your voice-activated remote, a VAR.
There you go.
There you go. But I think it'd be easier just to...
A value-added reseller.
Yeah, just to go with the 8-bit Do. I mean, they do have a ton of different controller types that'll work with these systems, and they're pretty
how
awesome.
How much dough is it to get one of these 8-bit doughs?
The low price of $25.
Yeah, this specific one. I mean, like Dave said, they have a wide variety, and they do have several that will work with the NES Classic Edition. I do want to point out though, real fast for you, Dave.
Yeah.
Because I know that you are, you're a hacker at heart. They do have a script that you can run on your NES Classic Edition to add the functionality of a reset from the controller.
Nah. I'm
good.
You
don't want to try it?
No, I don't want to try that.
You don't want to brick your new thing?
Yeah, no, I'll leave it as is, because like I say, in my setup where I play down here in my office, everything's fine. Even with a short controller, I can kick back right here at my desk and relax and play games, and the controller's right within reach. It's not a problem.
Living the dream.
Yep, living the dream. That's right.
Sitting in his tidy whities playing Nintendo.
With a cold brewski. Some bratwurst.
But you know, for those of you who don't want to sit that close to it like Dave does, definitely pick up one of these.
Yeah.
It's going to make it a lot of fun for you. And let's point out one other aspect to this. Not only does it have the standard two buttons that they always have, but there's two more buttons right above it. No, you're not getting four different individual buttons. The two top ones are auto turbo buttons.
Yeah.
So you have a turbo A and a turbo B. So now you're playing games like you have to run. Like, what were those? Track and field, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Is track and field even on it? It might not even be on it.
So punch out if you need to stand up instead of mashing the buttons.
Yeah.
Just hold those two down.
Yep.
Yeah. Help my old feeble hands play these controllers.
So yeah, check out the 8-Bit Do wireless gamepad for the NES Classic Edition. It is sweet.
Yeah,
nice. You know what else you guys should check out? DigitalSoupPodcast.com.
Bingo.
That is our official Digital Soup website, where you can find all of our articles on all of our episodes. You can listen on the site. You can find links to all of our social media as well. So stop by at our Twitter account, stop by our Facebook page, say hi. And of course, like, subscribe, leave us a comment and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. If you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. So yeah, check that out, digitalsouppodcast.com. Before we wrap this up, we do have our Digital Soup Unsigned Spotlight, which is Burning Sun by The Clays. Now, they are a 4-piece rock band from Stoke-on-Trent in Staffordshire, England, and they formed sometime in 2013, but the music of the band started well before that. Longtime friends Adam and Mart began collaborating on songwriting many years ago, sitting down with acoustic guitars. Adam took up the mantle of lead vocals and lead guitar, while Mart supplied backing and rhythm. So they work hard on perfecting the melodies and harmonies before deciding they need to take it on the next level. So that is Burning Sun by The Clays. You guys have an awesome week, and we will catch you next time.
That's right, guys. Take care.
Later, movie pass.
Gators.
One by one, the hours come. The clock tick tocks with the burning sun. Take me from the dark and pull me back into the light of every day. Take me from the dark.